Chapter 30, Games Transform Their Players.
If they don't, they probably miss the point.
Maybe. I mean, is it not enough for games to just be fun? Apparently not, which is why we have Lens 97, the Lens of Transformation. Games create experiences, and experiences change people. To make sure only the best changes happen to your players, ask yourself these questions. How can my game change players for the better? How might my game change players for the worse? That's a good thing to think about.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that. I'm not sure most people are very good at that.
Well, you certainly need to have some sort of internally consistent moral rubric with which to compare your product, but...
Right, or at least some form of comparison, better and worse.
Yeah. Then we have Chapter 31. Designers have certain responsibilities. Lens 98. The Lens of Responsibility. To live up to your obligations as a game designer, ask yourself this question: does my game help people, and how? So he started off strong in the last chapter, and now he's just doing the same chapter over again.
Right. Helping people is the same thing as making them better and not worse.
Yeah. Oh, well. Chapter 32. Each designer has a motivation, with two lenses this time. Lens 99, the Lens of the Raven. To remember to only work on what is important, ask yourself this question: is making this game worth my time? And Lens 100, the Lens of your secret purpose. To make sure you're working toward your one true purpose, ask yourself the only question that matters: why am I doing this?
Man, we're just getting all existential now.
Yeah, should have put that at the beginning.
Yeah, why did we finish reading this book? If we don't have an answer to these questions, why did we finish reading the book? That does not pass the Lens of the Raven.
the secret purpose. The Lens of the Raven is making this game worth my time.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Reading this book is not worth our time if we don't have a secret purpose for making games.
Yeah. Or if it doesn't play into our one true purpose.
Right.
Why am I doing this? It's a good question. Well, it seems like that's the end. We've reached the end here. There's no other chapter. Or no, there is. There's a chapter called Goodbye.
And then he makes a Star Trek reference.
I'll read the whole thing. All good things, ellipsis. My goodness, look at the time. I've talked long enough to fill a whole book. Thank you so much for dropping in. I really do enjoy talking about things with someone as thoughtful and insightful as you are. Say, what was that, a clever anagram you mentioned? If I mix up the letters of Art of Game Design, it spells ragged something. Oh, yes, very clever. I'll have to remember that. You have your map, your ring, and all your lenses? Good, good. No, really, you can keep them, if you promise to use them, and good luck with that game that you mentioned. It sounds really fun. Let me know when we can try it out. Thanks again for coming, and thanks so much for listening. Keep in touch, okay? After all, we game designers have to stick together.
How odd. Did he start the book with a let's sit around Grandpa Jesse's fireplace?
Find out. Acknowledgements. It's probably not worth the tone. Hello. Hello there! Come in, come in! What a nice surprise! I had no idea you would be visiting today! I'm sorry if it's a little messy in here. I've been writing. Please, make yourself comfortable. Good, good. Now, let's see. Where should we begin? Oh, I should introduce myself! And so forth.
All right, so he does.
Yeah.
Oh, then he introduces himself for a long time. Where's that chapter one?
No, this is the introduction to the book.
Yeah.
Waiting for Mendeleev, who's the guy who invented the periodic table. Not discovered it, as he says on page XXV. And then in chapter one, he kind of walks away from the narrative. I mention all this only because at various times in the book, I will be drawing examples from these experiences about his life, since every single one of them has taught me valuable lessons about the art of game design.
So, as sort of a little bit of wrap-up, we went through all 100 lenses.
Yeah.
And some of them we didn't like very much. Some of them we thought were pretty good.
Yeah.
Some of them were just kind of all right.
Some of them were too broad, talking about the entirety of human experience.
Right.
Some of them were too narrow, talking about only a specific kind of game development for a specific kind of platform.
Right. I don't think we were keeping track, but if you were to put a number to the score as to how many of these lenses were actually useful...
Oh, man. Well, we could go through them and count, but if I had to guess, I'd say there are like 8 really solid lenses in here, and probably about like 2 dozen that are just kind of... not very valuable, at least specifically to game design. There's nothing in here that's just nonsense, but a lot of it is just kind of like general advice for everyday humans like yourself.
Right, which, I mean, if he's writing to vacuous husks of college students, as he's, maybe that's good anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not clear who his audience is. Well, and he makes it clear at the beginning. It's just anyone who wants to wander in, right?
That is what he says.
Hey, I'm glad you showed up. Coming over to visit. I'm just going to talk to you about game design. I have no idea who you are, because you didn't introduce yourself to me. So I'm just going to talk about everything. Every possible thing you might need to...
Yep.
So, yeah. I guess I should clarify that I feel like there are about 8 lenses that were valuable to me. That,
sure,
I felt like really helped me to understand game design better, or helped to clarify something about game design that I'd kind of thought before but had not really codified or put into words and such.
Right.
And there's probably another like dozen or maybe even 2 dozen lenses that are just really good advice for, like we said, for everyday life. They're so broad that they apply to everything, which isn't so useful for game design specifically, but are just like, yeah, absolutely, you should do those things.
Right.
And taken as a whole, there's probably more good advice than bad advice. I don't think there's any really actually bad advice in here. Some of it is just a bit too vague, I guess, is as bad as it gets.
Although I'm not sure that you should go Googling lists of known pleasures.
Well, he doesn't say to Google it. He just assumes that you have them already.
That's right.
You've been compiling them, I'm sure, writing them down in your journal of known pleasures. And if you feel the need to consult that journal, then you should certainly do that when you're using the lens of pleasure.
Yeah.
Which is lens number something. Number 17. Yeah, it does seem like he wrote the book kind of linearly, like in reading order almost.
Right.
And I feel like that's something that a lot of authors do, is they feel like, okay, well, I want to write a book. What do I have to say? Well, and you start writing down the things you have to say. And then if you think of anything else, you tack it on the end. And maybe if you're being super organized, you like put it near something else that you want to talk about. But you don't worry too much about like keeping all things all together and stuff.
Right.
And it seems like he could have benefited. The book could have benefited from a bit more structure and a bit less slavish compliance to the lens 1 through 100 formula.
Sure.
It also seems like if he really wanted to make it a book of lenses, that he should just make each chapter a lens. And that way each lens is a summary of a chapter. And so you don't have this weird thing where some of the chapters have just gobs of lenses and some have none at all. Like chapter 10 and 11 have just like, what is 10 has like 9 lenses, and chapter 11 has 17.
Right.
Whereas chapters 20 and 21 don't have any lenses at all. And then the chapters at the end all just have one lens each, which I feel like is probably the correct way to do it. You have a chapter, you talk about what you're talking about, and then at the end you have a lens that summarizes all that stuff.
Right.
And if you need to have multiple lenses in a single topic, then you just break it up into multiple chapters inside a single section.
Yeah.
And he's got sections. He's got each chapter divided into subsections. So it seems like he should have just made, like, multiple lens cases, or, I don't know, extend the metaphor a bit. Be creative. Some kind of, you know, boxes for holding your lenses in, and then here's how I like to organize my lenses, but you're welcome to organize them however you wish. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, if he had 8 really good lenses and a dozen pretty good lenses, then he was at 20% yield with modern processor manufacturing. So.
And he's got 33 chapters, so that's pretty close to what we were saying, right? Plus a dozen is 20.
Yeah.
So if he had pared down the book a bit, had 20 really solid chapters with 20 really solid lenses, and then just taken all the other lenses and just put them to the rest of the book, just had like advice quips or perspectives or, I don't know, focuses or something like that. Something having to do with lenses. I feel like the lens metaphor was really underused.
Sure.
But yeah, on the whole, it's pretty good. I feel like I should go through, maybe I will, go through and and review the lenses and try to make a summary of which ones were good, which ones were bad, which ones were just odd. I'm looking at you, lens 17.